ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीशुक उवाच ये एष उत्थान पादो मानवस्यानुवर्णित वंश प्रियव्रतस्यापि निबोधा नृपसत्तम श्रीशुक उवाच य एष उत्थान पादो मानवस्यानुवर्णितः वंशप्रियव्रतस्यापि निबोधा नृपसत्तम श्रीशुक उवाच य एष उत्थान पादो मानवस्यानुवर्तनः वंशप्रियव्रतस्यापि निबोधा नृपसत्तम Shuka Uvacha. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Ya, which, Esha, this dynasty, Uttanapada, of King Uttanapada, Manavasya.
Manavasya.
The son of Swayambhuva
Manu.
Anuvarnita.
Described.
Following in the footprints of previous acharyas. Bhamsa. Dynasty. Priyavratasya. Of King Priyavrata. Api. Also. Nibodha. Try to understand. Nirpasattama. O best of kings. Sukadev Goswami continued, O best of kings, King Parikshit, I have now finished telling about the descendants of the first son of Swayambhuva Manu, Uttanapada. I shall now try to relate the activities of the descendants of Priyavrata, the second son of Swayambhuva Manu. Please hear them attentively. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Dhruva Maharaj was the son of King Uttanapada, and as far as the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, or King Uttanapada, are concerned, their activities have been described up to the point of the Prachetas. Now Sri Shukadev Goswami desires to describe the descendants of Maharaj Priyavrata, the second son of Swayambhuva Manu.
Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Milidanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudhapadakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahakana Raghunatham Vidam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sapadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Ranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Shri Radha Gopinath are wearing flower dresses today. So that's an indication we are still celebrating the flower festival. I'm very grateful to all of you for being here this morning. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text 26. Yesterday evening, we were speaking on the subject of Krishna's words from Bhagavad Gita. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati tadatam ahitam ashnami prayatatmana. And if one offers me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or a little water with love and devotion, I accept it. And in the narration, we gave some historical and philosophical references of how Krishna, who is Atmarama, who is forever completely satisfied, who is Rama, the reservoir of all pleasure, he accepts even the simplest offering with devotion. And Srila Prabhupada often gives the example of how people give their honor and worship to the rivers Ganga and Yamuna. These rivers begin at Yamunotri, Gangotri, high in the Himalayan mountains. They travel about 1,000 miles. In some places in the rainy season, I have seen Mother Ganges is more than 1 mile wide. So how much water is there? And yet the tradition is among the millions of people who take their baths along the banks of the Ganges and the Yamuna every single day. They take a palmful of water from Mother Ganga. And with love and devotion they say, Ganga, I offer this water to you. With my humility and gratitude. And Mother Ganga accepts it. Does the Ganges need that handful of water? Srila Prabhupada describes when somebody takes that palmful of water, does Mother Ganges have anything less? And when you offer it back, does she have anything more? It's completely, utterly insignificant from a material calculation. But from a devotional perspective, that palmful of water to Mother Ganga, if it's offered with devotion, has greater value than all the gold and the silver and the jewels and all the mansions and skyscrapers of all the planets throughout the universe. And Mother Ganga is the Shakti of Lord Narayan or Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matya sarvam pravartate. Krishna is the source of everything that exists and everyone that exists. What does Krishna need from us? A leaf? How many leaves in creation has Krishna created? How many flowers? How much water? Or fruits. But if we offer a single one with love and devotion, Krishna never forgets it. Because he's the source of all good qualities. And a person who's actually connected to Krishna awakens within their own hearts the soul's natural good qualities. And because the soul is mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana, part of Krishna, we have those same qualities as Krishna. That is why the more we become purified, we're receptive to value love more than anything else in creation. And we understand that's the most precious thing we have to give. That love is dependent on a spirit of gratitude. Krishna's eternally grateful and never forgets a single leaf or a spoonful of water if it's offered with devotion. For all eternity, he remembers that. Neha bikramanasosti pratyavaya vityate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobaya. The Bhagavad Gita tells, even if one does one little bit of devotional service in this spirit, it's forever in our credit. Why? Because the Lord within our heart and within the heart of every living being and within every atom will never forget that. Even if we go astray for some time, even if we go astray for thousands of births, Krishna will never forget that you offer that leaf. That is his gratitude. He's supremely compassionate. And therefore, as we become Krishna conscious, those are the qualities that we prioritize. To cultivate these qualities is more important than achieving anything else. So today we'll discuss from another perspective. Yesterday we were talking about a leaf or a little water. Today we'll speak about people who were in very different circumstances but had the same spirit. Just a few days ago on the appearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sri Sri Radha, Madan Mohan, Lalita Sakhi were installed at Govardhan Eco Village. The loving hands of Janani Vas Prabhu, Pankajangri Prabhu, Chandramali, Swami Maharaj, Yadubar Prabhu, Nityodita Prabhu, Rukmini Devi, Arundhati Devi, and everyone else, including the chief priest of the Madan Mohan Temple of Karoli, high priests of Nandagram. Sanatan Goswami, we learn from him, our Sambandha Acharya, and all other great Acharyas, what we should value most. Because that is how our spiritual life progresses. Because what we give the most value to is what we will strive for. Satsang, association of devotees, is crucial to our progress because we're with people who remind us of what's actually most valuable in life. Some people, most people, they value fleeting material things. Because what you value, you give the maximum quality and quantity of time. Money, fame, power, prestige, sensual enjoyments. Shukadukada. But they come and go like the seasons. What is truly of value is the eternal treasure that is in our loving devotional service to the Supreme, which is all-inclusive of everything and everyone else. Sanatan Goswami, he had everything. He was a billionaire. And he was a billionaire who was the prime minister. And his prime ministership was not based on votes.
was a permanent, secure position. So nobody could take anything away from him. He was a learned scholar. He was young. He was incredibly handsome. And everyone loved him. The king loved him like his own brother. And all the citizens loved him like a father. But he left it all to go to Vrindavan. And how did he live in Vrindavan? He wore just tattered cloth. The Brijavasis would wear some cloth for some time, and after it got too old for them to wear, and these are not wealthy people, these are simple farmers, they would throw it away. And he would find that, and he would wash it really nice in the Yamuna water, and tear it up into little pieces, and that was his clothes. He slept on the ground, under trees. He begged for food, simplest of food. Why would anybody give up so much for so little? Actually, he gave up so little for so much. He gave up these illusory treasures of this world to taste the sweetness of the love of the gopis, Gopi Bhava. He was immersed in that sweetness, roaming around Vrindavan, He Radhe Braja Ke Vake Chaladite He Nanda Shuno Kadaha, just searching for Krishna. Such renunciation. But the most essential part of his renunciation was his humility. Because, like Srila Prabhupada, when he was told by one of his early disciples, Guru Maharaj, I have decided to renounce everything. Prabhupada could sense some pride in him, some false pride, that he was going to renounce everything. So Prabhupada said, is Krishna the proprietor of everything? And the devotee said, yes. He said, then what do you have to renounce? Nothing is yours. The only thing you have to renounce is the misconception, the illusion that you have something to renounce. The devotee was speechless. He didn't know what to say, what to do. He just sat there. That is the truth. So although Sanatana Goswami was such a scholar and such a renunciate and had such immense influence on everyone's life, he was more humble than a piece of straw in the street. And that humility didn't make him depressed. It made him ecstatic. Because he understood, I'm just an instrument of Krishna's grace. He's the ability in man, the intelligence of the intelligence, the strength of the strong. And whatever devotion we have, it's because we're part of him. Of Sri Radharani, part of her. So he was very happy living like this. But then when the deity of Madan Mohan was entrusted in his care, he was living under a little tree on a mountain just above the Yamuna. Krishna Das Kapoor came and gave all the money he had because he had such faith in Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami transformed his life. He offered him everything. Sanatana Goswami said, I don't need anything. I had everything. What can you give me that I didn't already have?
But Madan Mohan should have a nice temple. So build him a temple. So here we find he gave up everything, but then for the purpose of service, he utilized a large sum of money and engaged so many people in hard work of hand carving that temple. For the service of the Lord. And not only the service of the Lord, but Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami that he should go to Vrindavan for four reasons, and one of them was to excavate holy places and develop temples so that Vrindavan will be a holy place of pilgrimage where people will come. So he built that temple in the service of Madan Mohan. And what is the greatest service we can do for God? Be an instrument of his compassion in this world. There's nothing greater. Whether we have a leaf, a flower, whatever little words we can speak, or if we have great treasures, if we use them, whatever is most effective for showing compassion to God's children in this world, that is the greatest service, and it's the deepest spirit of renunciation. So beautiful temple was built, wonderful offerings were made, and it was for the sake of everyone. Similarly, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, there was the king Pratapa Rudra. He was the king of Odisha. It was a gigantic kingdom at the time, and nobody could conquer it. Even the king of Bengal, the Nawab Husain Shah, who was one of the Mughal controllers of India, he attacked with all his armies. But he could not withstand the armies of Pratapa Rudra. So he was very powerful. Gajapati. But he was a great devotee. And when he heard from his guru, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that Krishna, Lord Jagannath, has appeared in this world in the form of Lord Chaitanya, he had complete faith. And faith is not just something we feel. It's something that motivates our decisions. He had such faith that he wanted so much, just one time to meet Lord Chaitanya. If he could have just one darshan interview with him, that would be the most precious thing in his life, just to get those blessings. So he requested Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please arrange it. But Lord Chaitanya, just really to show the glories of his devotee, to teach us, he refused to meet the king. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm a renunciate, I'm a sannyasi. I should not be meeting such a worldly person as a king. He's living in palaces, he has so much enjoyment all around him. No, I will not meet him. It's worse than drinking poison willfully. It would be abominable for me to meet this king. So that news came back to Pratapa Rudra Maharaj. Now he's the king. He could have punished Lord Chaitanya if he wanted to. But how did he respond? He responded, if my being a king is an impediment to meeting Lord Chaitanya for that moment, then I am determined I will give up my kingdom. I'll give up my family, I'll give up my palace, I'll give up all my power and influence. I will become a beggar for the rest of my life if that's what is required to get an interview with the Lord. He wasn't asking to live with the Lord.
just wanted to meet him once. But he considered it so important. He was not just saying, he was determined. He was in the process of doing it, giving everything away and living like a simple beggar, sleeping on the side of the road or under a tree, begging door to door. I'll do that for the rest of my life if that's what's required. And when that news came to Lord Chaitanya, his heart really softened, but still he wouldn't meet him. And when it came for the Rath Yatra, King Prataparudra, he revealed his heart. There was nothing artificial. Because you see, we could try to fool people by appearing in such a way that they will be impressed. But Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriddesher Juna Tishtati. If we want to impress the Lord within our heart, we have to be very real and very sincere, because He's seeing from the inside. He's seeing our motives. He's seeing our intention. So the king put on the simple dress of a sweeper and he swept the road for Lord Jagannath and for all the devotees and all the pilgrims and everyone who was there. He actually accepted a simple role of a street sweeper, not to impress anyone, but because he considered that to be his greatest duty. And actually, that was the mood that he ruled the whole kingdom. Whether he was taxing citizens or protecting others or giving justice to the criminals or building incredible facilities, developing a wonderful family and dynasty. It was all in the mood of a simple sweeper. He was just the servant of the servant of the servant. And Lord Chaitanya understood his heart. And at that point, Lord Chaitanya decided, I will give him complete mercy. In today's verses, Shukadev Goswami, he has just discussed a whole dynasty of great kings. A son of Brahma was Swayambhuvamanu. Swayambhuvamanu had two sons. The eldest son was Priyavrata. He was the one who was designated to be the next emperor of the world. And the younger son was Uttanapada, who was designated to assist his elder brother. Priyavrata, he had such spiritual inclination. He understood his younger brother was very qualified. So there was no need for him to take on being king. And he left his palace. And he left all the comforts and luxuries of the world to the maximum. More than anyone could imagine in today's world what an emperor would have. And he went to a hill called Gandhamadana. There's no houses. And there he met his guru, Narada Muni, and just spent his life hearing the pastimes and the teachings of the Lord from his guru, Narada Muni, rendering very humble, simple services, chanting the holy names, and meditating, performing tapasya. And in those days, people lived long lives. So he lived a really long life. He just sat on that mountain. He didn't go anywhere.
And meanwhile, Uttanapada became the king of the world. And he had two sons, Uttama and Dhruva Maharaj. And we have heard from Gaurvani Prabhu the beautiful narrations of Dhruva Maharaj's life. He was also in that same spirit. Dhruva Maharaj was insulted, brokenhearted by his stepmother, Suruchi. His mother, Suniti, told him, "There's nothing I can do for you. Only God can help you." And great sages, they go to the forest to connect with the Supreme Lord. So he went to the forest. And Narada came there too. Narada is really an instrument of Krishna's grace. And Srila Prabhupada told us, when we chant the holy name sincerely, Narada Muni is here with us. So, he taught Dhruva Maharaj how to meditate on Lord Krishna in a holy place. And by doing so, he developed such love for Krishna that when Krishna appeared to him and said, "Now I'll give you the kingdom. This is what you came here for. You wanted a kingdom greater than your father or grandfather. It's yours." Dhruva Maharaj said, I came here looking for broken pieces of glass in the form of worldly enjoyment. But I have achieved the most valuable jewel in the form of being the servant of the servant of your servant." He didn't want anything else. He just wanted to love Krishna. Because he understood that that's the only thing that satisfies the heart. And that's the only thing that the world really needs. Everything else comes naturally after that. Because where there's love, there's compassion. The reason for so much shortage in this world is the tendency of human beings for greed and exploitation. They cannot exist in the heart of a true devotee any more than darkness can exist in the sun planet. But then Krishna said, "Yes, I give you love for me. But now, if you want to serve me, you have to serve the people." Because what is a king? What is anybody in this world who performs their duty? They're doing it for the sake of others. If it's in the line of Dharma, the world needs a good leader. And I want you to take the responsibility to do that. Be the father for everyone. Provide the example and the resources so that everyone could prosper physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was happy in the Madhuban forest, but he went back and ruled the world in the service of the Lord. And in doing so, he lived royally. And then he had a son, Utkala. And Utkala was meant to be the next king. But he saw that his younger brother was actually very qualified. So Utkala left. He said to his father, after his father retired from the world, "Utkala, you take the kingdom. I'm going to go to the forest and just meditate on Krishna." And he did. And the dynasty went on and on. For many generations, Maharaj Vena, Prithu Maharaj, Prachini Barhishat, and eventually the Prachetas. And we're reading here in this that when the Prachetas, after them, there was no one qualified to rule to lead the citizens.
So Swayambhuva Manu, he was very concerned with everyone's welfare. A devotee is paradukaduki. A devotee's happiness is to see others' happiness. A devotee's distress is to see others' distress. That's compassion. That's the symptom of love. So Priyavrat, he was the elder brother of Uttanapada. He was meant to be the king, but he was living on Gandhamad in a mountain for many, many, many years in the ashram of his guru. And he was so happy. But now there was a need for him to come down from the ashram. So Swayambhuva Manu came there and said, "We need you to get married, to sit on the throne of the palace, and to rule the kingdom." He had no inclination whatsoever. So many distractions. And he understood the power of this material energy. Even if you're a great devotee and everything, still you could get distracted, you could get trapped, because Maya is so tricky and so subtle and so gross and so all-pervading. So he just had no interest. So now there's a problem. He wants to follow in the line of his guru, Narada, who's a total renunciate. Have you ever heard of Narada Muni living in a house? He just flies around everywhere. Narada Muni bhajai vinaradhika ramana name. He's chanting the names of Radhika Ramana, going here, there, and everywhere. He has so many disciples, Valmiki Muni and Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, Magari. Yes, limitless disciples. And here Priyavrata is living with Narada Muni on Gandhamadana Mountain. And here comes his father saying, "We need you to have a family and perform the very, very difficult task of ruling the kingdom." So he didn't want to do it. He actually refused. So now there's a problem, because there's 12 Mahajans, and two of them happen to be Swayambhuva Manu and Narada Muni. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. The path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. And here you have two Mahajans giving you opposite instructions. Narada Muni was silent, but you know, his mood was quite convincing. So at that point, a third Mahajan came. Brahma. Was like the original mediation. And Brahma tells Priyavrata that, "Why are you doing renunciation? Why are you meditating? Why are you chanting God's names and doing all this tapasya? Samsidhyar Hari Toshanam. The only purpose of doing it is because it pleases Krishna. Krishna wants," Srila Prabhupada would often quote a beautiful line from the Vedic literatures. He said, "The whole purpose of all the Vedic literatures and the whole Vedic culture is sarve sukhino bhavantu. Let everyone be happy." Prabhupada said, that's the purpose of all knowledge. That people be happy. So the more we can make people happy, the way more we make Krishna happy. So you're doing everything to make Krishna happy. Krishna will be happy if you lead the world by taking this position.
That's the culmination of all your meditation and all your austerities to please Krishna. Priyavrata was thinking, but it's so complicated and so implicating and so entangling, and I don't think I could do it to deal with all that stuff and not get attached to it. And Brahma told him, don't worry about that. Krishna understands. Just do your service for the well-being of others. So Priyavrata came to, upon hearing that, Narada Muni gave his complete blessings. Yes, go. Go get married. Go start a family. Go live in the, leave this mountain hermitage and live in a beautiful palace. And be involved day and night in all the complications of ruling the world. But do it for Krishna. So Priyavrata did it. And sure enough, according to Shukadeva Goswami's narration in Srimad Bhagavatam, he did get distracted. And he did get implicated in different types of attachments and attractions. But because he was doing it for Krishna without ulterior motives, Krishna restored the highest state of consciousness in him. And he attained the ultimate perfection of life. So he did it for us. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the very famous story of Lord Shiva, how he drank a mass quantity of deadly poison just so that it wouldn't destroy everyone else. And in that particular section of Bhagavatam, it describes that the service that is most pleasing to God, to Krishna, who has many names, the service that is, gives Krishna the most pleasure is when we're willing to endure sacrifices to help others, to restore others' happiness, spiritual happiness. And a little later, there was a king named Chitraketu, and he really wanted a son. And somehow or other, he got so many blessings after so many years, and then he had a son. But then some people who were envious of the mother, they killed the son. So whatever misery there was when he didn't have the son, he got ten hundreds, thousands of times more happiness when he had a son. But then after he had his son, what he was longing for, yearning for so many years, now he has it. And it's everything's just so perfect, everything's so right. When the son died, tens and thousands of times more miserable than the happiness of having the son. And Narada Muni came. Said, King, how are you? He said, I can't do anything anymore. I can't even be the king. My mind is completely obsessed with sorrow upon losing my only son. So Narada Muni said, well, I named him Harshashoka, which means one who gives great happiness and distress. So he said, but I wasn't expecting this. I was expecting maybe he'd be naughty or something. Not that he's murdered. It's terrible. So Narada Muni said to the little dead son, said, "Oh, Jiva, please come and give your father some enlightenment." So the little son came back to life. He rose from the dead. And he looked around and said, "Who's my father? Which father are you talking about? I've had so many fathers and so many births." And his father got enlightened. The words of Narada Muni, he believed in, but it didn't transform him. But when he heard the same words from his little son who had just risen from death, he understood it completely. And the child just told him, "Bye-bye. I just came to teach you something, but actually I'm destined to go somewhere else. I'm the eternal soul. There's no death. There's no birth for the soul. You should know that." And then he became completely enlightened. And one day he made a mistake, because even great souls make mistakes. He accidentally said something about Shiva. "Lord Shiva, all these renunciate sadhus who have given up everything in the world, celibates, they're worshipping Shiva. And one day, Chitraketu just happened to be passing by this place, and Shiva was giving a lecture on renunciation to all these babajis. And while he was speaking, his wife, Parvati, was affectionately on his lap embracing him. And the babajis were just listening and watching. They had no questions about Lord Shiva's integrity. Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigina Pujai. We can't always understand the mind of great souls. But Chitraketu, he understood the greatness of Shiva, but he kind of jokingly he couldn't help himself. Just see, the most renounced, celibate people in the world are all hearing a class about renunciation from Shiva, and the most beautiful woman in the world is on his lap embracing him while he's speaking. So that most beautiful Parvati, she didn't like her husband being... she thought it was an insult. And she cursed him to die and become a demon. That's pretty bad. To die is one thing, but then to become a demon is really... And amazingly, Chitraketu, such a devotee, with total humility and respect, he bowed at the feet of Parvati and said, "Thank you. I'm very grateful for your mercy. Actually, I really honestly did not mean to insult your husband. I was actually praising him in my own way. But somehow or other, the communication wasn't so good and you misunderstood it and you cursed me to be a demon. That's all right. Now please give me your blessings to die and become a demon. I'm so happy." Shiva's watching this. He was so impressed. Narayana parasarve nakutashtana bibhyate swarga pavarga narakeshu apitulyartha darshanaha. He says to Parvati, "Just see the qualities of a devotee of Narayan. Whether they're in swarga, whether they're in the heavens, where there's the most luxurious opulences and pleasures, or whether they're in naraka, hell, it makes absolutely no difference to them. Because their only purpose, their only joy is to serve.
If they can best serve in hell, they're happier in hell. If they can best serve in heaven, they're happier in heaven. Their happiness is in service, not in the external experiences. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was given a benediction, anything he could ask for, he was also a little boy, and he was also asked to become a king. He had no interest in being a king. But when the Lord told him, you could best please me by helping all these people, then Prahlad said, all right. He said, I'm not here to do business with you. I'm just here to serve. There's no greater honor, no greater pleasure than just to serve the Lord according to the Lord's satisfaction. And in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, that same spirit of Prahlad, that same spirit, Prahlad Maharaj really just didn't care whether he was in heaven or hell. All that matters is how can I serve? Basudev Dutt, who was the dearest of all devotees to Lord Chaitanya. Why was he so dear? Because of his deep compassion for everyone. Everyone within the universe, all beings. And his compassion was not just an idle sentiment. He was willing to endure whatever it took to make people happy. His prayer, let me take the karma of all the sinful reactions of everyone in the universe and let me suffer perpetually so they could be happy and liberated. Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself, cried. He wept to see such love. And Lord Chaitanya, from that day on, he would proclaim wherever he was, I am the property of Vasudev Dutt. I am Vasudev Dutt's man. He controls me by his compassion. Wherever he wants to sell me, I am sold. I am his property. And Srila Prabhupada, it was that compassion. He's living in Vrindavan, at the very heart of Vrindavan. Radha Damodar Pampa, where he is living, is the Rasmandala. It's part of the greater area of Seva Kunj, where Sri Radharani and Sri Krishna and the Sakis, Gopis, they're eternally performing the crescendo of all pastimes of love, the Ras Lila. Srila Prabhupada's living there with Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami. All the Goswamis in their eternal pastimes, they meet at Radha Damodar every day. Why would he leave there at an old age and endure so many difficulties without any security whatsoever after coming off a cargo ship? He's staying in a ghetto, the Bowery of New York City. He had no livelihood. He had no supporters. And he stayed. And that was just the beginning of his austerities. Then in the Lower East Side, he started meeting us. And he had to deal with us. Somebody asked Prabhupada, a television reporter, Prabhupada,
he said, Swamiji, what is a hippie? You have so many disciples who were hippies. What is a hippie? And Prabhupada said, something extraordinary. He said, I have come to make hippies into happies. But actually, if you understand what that psychology is, practically the whole world's hippies in that sense. It's spiritually living unclean lives. It's compassion. In Dallas, Texas, he was very concerned that devotees not cut down a tree, because he said that tree is living on Krishna's property. We should respect him. He was very concerned about the well-being of a tree. And in England, he was a little, tiny little worm was crawling on his floor, and he was, with tears in his eyes, he asked his assistant, please pick up a leaf and bring the worm outside because he's hungry. He can't find food here. Put him on the tree. And just as he was eager to feed the worm with whatever he had in 26 Second Avenue, when he had no money whatsoever, he wanted to give everyone happiness. Somebody would donate an apple, and he'd count how many people were in the room and cut the apple in that many proportions. And he would offer the apple to Krishna and give everyone prasad. And if somebody tried to leave without getting prasad, he would appeal to them, please, take prasad, just take prasad. This, nobody could really take seriously a slice of an apple, Americans. But for Prabhupada, it was so important that they got that little apple slice because it was Krishna's prasad. But later on, you know, he had devotees build Krishna Balaram Temple and Mayapur and Hyderabad and so many temples all over the world. And the temple of the Vedic planetarium. So why such a simple person who wanted nothing for himself? Because by Prapanchakati Abhudya Harisambandi Vastana Mamukshami Purityagya Vaira Gambhal Bukhat. Rupa Goswami says, true renunciation is not just to give up things. True renunciation is whatever we have, we use it in Krishna's service. And the best service is what will enlighten other people's hearts and make them happy. Make them happy. So when we speak of patram pushpam palam toyam, offer me a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, that same principle is offer me 1 rupee, 10 rupees, 100 million rupees, $1 billion. Why such temples? Somebody asked Prabhupada, why such temples? Prabhupada said, if we're happy living under a tree eating rotis, but who will come and listen to us? And in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was the first person to make a beautiful guest house in the history of Vrindavan. Now, practically that's all you see in Vrindavan. You have to really go into the intimate places to see Krishna's, you know, the temples. Now there's just guest houses and hotels and so many things. But Prabhupada was the first person to make a nice guest house in Vrindavan. Why? He didn't do it to make money like so many people do. He did it for one simple reason.
that many people from around the world, we want to invite them to experience the atmosphere of Vrindavan. And they should be comfortable. So let them have wonderful prasad and wonderful place to stay, and let them experience Krishna. So this is compassion. So the flower festival is the principle of this. Whether we, just like Saradini, you just have a little water, whatever our propensity, whatever our means, we just try our best with a sincere heart, with an intention, the renunciation of humility, that everything is Krishna's. Let me just utilize whatever there may be for Krishna. By giving the spirit of love, devotion to others. By attracting people to appreciate the value of associating with holy people, hearing about the Lord, and chanting the holy name. Question? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. From last so many years, after reading this pastime of...
Actually, I have been told by so many guests who come to Radha Gopinath Temple that part of the experience, because they hear you asking questions on so many recordings... It's like the experience of Radha Gopinath Temple to actually see Ananda Vrindavan personally asking a question. Yes.
Maharaj, so many years I have this doubt about this pastime of Priyavrat and Uttanupad. Basically, Priyavrat was the elder brother of Uttanupad. And Uttanupad already left his body during austerity once Thrumarat became the king. Now after that, lots of generation has passed. And everybody, that generation already got over. So the law of nature is applicable to everybody. So Priyavrat would also have been a very old person. How is it so that Priyavrat was young enough and he could take up the kingdom of that? This I am not able to understand it.
He was a very healthy brahmachari. So today is a very special announcement. Just recently, one of the dearmost of our devotees in our family, Krishna took her from this world. Her Grace Lalita Sakhi Devi, she invited Prabhupada to her house long ago, and she became connected with Radha Gopinath Temple several decades back, is forever one of our dearest well-wishers, like a mother to everyone.
her devotion, her compassion, her love was beautiful. She was a wonderful musician. Her greatest joy in life was just singing prayers and bhajans about Krishna and Radha and Vrindavan. And even in her old age, last couple years, last year actually, when she really could not remember things around her, she was continuously just singing perfectly the wonderful prayers and bhajans that she sang all her life. That was all there was, her love for Krishna. She raised a wonderful family, J. Piramal, Swati Piramal, and their family are so close to our whole congregation. And she left this world on Makara Sankranti, the very day that when Bhishma was instructing the Pandavas in the Srimad Bhagavatam Mahabharata, when he saw the Makara Sankranti begin, he stopped all of his instructions and totally fixed his mind on the beautiful form of Krishna, glorified Krishna, and immersed in remembering Krishna, in Krishna's presence, by his own sweet will, he left this world. So she was in a very critical state for many days on Makara Sankranti, being surrounded by our devotees chanting the holy names, and everyone in her family coming together, all chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. She departed from the world into Krishna's loving arms. So today the prasad, after this kirtan, has been sponsored, has been an offering of her family in her name. And today we are going to dedicate our kirtan in the loving memory, with all of our prayers and gratitude for Lalita Sakhi Devi. Everyone please rise and let us chant with great feeling.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Aschadyade Satharine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gobhakta Vrinda. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Very loudly with feeling. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, everyone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.